My goodness, tough act to follow, much. Right, just bear with. I have my trusty Meerkat bookmark with me, so nothing can go wrong. Right, it's funny, just before I do start, John, Luke and I haven't like coordinated what we're going to say at all, but hearing what they've said and knowing what I'm going to say, it's almost like God has a plan and there's a thread. It's funny how that works sometimes. So then, my first question is, what are you? What are you? So has anybody heard of the Myers-Briggs personality, sometimes called 16 personalities? Wow, that is a bigger response than I thought I was going to get. Does anybody know what they are? Down there. Yeah, shout it out. INFJ, anybody else? ENFP, anybody else? No, okay, that's fine. A couple of different. Andrew? EFT. What now? That's not one. So for those of you who don't know, Myers-Briggs, or 16 personalities, it's a personality test that categorises you according to 16 different personality types. And each one is made up of four letters, which is why people have just been shouting out random letters to us. And I have found that you can actually find out a lot about how your mind works, how you make your decisions, live your life, and even what other people might think of you based on your personality type. Now then, I am a proud INTJ, and this stands for introverted, intuitive, thinking and judging. And instead of going into all the psychological, you know, jargon that's really deep and meaningful, I thought I'd introduce you to three fictional characters who are apparently also INTJs, so you know a little bit about who I might be a little. So here we have on the screen Dr. Gregory House here on the bottom, Sherlock Holmes, and of course Loki from the Marvel comic universe. Now then, these first two characters, Holmes and House, I personally don't have much of a problem being compared to. They're both pretty intelligent guys, and I can live with that comparison. And they both sort of use their brains to solve puzzles. So House will solve medical mysteries and, you know, heal people who are supposed to be dying. And Sherlock Holmes will solve, you know, really intricate crimes that, you know, the top brains in the country can't figure out. And, you know, in the end, they've saved lives and everybody's happy, and it's great. Even though they are mostly motivated by just wanting to solve the puzzle, in the end, it always helps somebody. And also, both of these characters, they're fiercely loyal to just a small group of friends, which I suppose I can relate to quite a lot. So yeah, they're not perfect human beings, I'm not saying that, but they're not bad people, you know, they get the job done. And then we've got Loki, and I'm not sure I really want to be compared to him. As great a character as he is, he's great in the Marvel films, I don't think it's good as a Christian for me to be comparable to a supervillain. But, you know, according to Myers-Briggs, I am like Loki. So what can I do to stop myself wanting to take over the universe with a little blue box? And if you don't understand that reference, please see me later. We'll be having words. But first of all, we're going to read from God's Word. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do. It gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us with his kindness. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Now, you might not know what your Myers-Briggs personality type is, although I would recommend looking into it because it's quite cool. I think so. But all of us define ourselves one way or another. It could be with your academic achievements, your successes, you know, how many letters you got after your name. It could be your possessions, you know, what type of car do you have, what type of clothes do you wear. It could be the social group that you belong to at college, school, even at work. Or it could be by how many likes you can get on Facebook or on Instagram. Guilty. But we also, either consciously or subconsciously, we can allow what others say about us, or even what we say about ourselves, define us and how we live our lives out. Maybe you were called a failure when you're at school, or your boss at work says he's disappointed in you. Maybe you think you're less important or less worth listening to because you don't have as much money in the bank as other people. Or maybe you're actually the other way around and secretly you think you're a little bit more important than those poor people. Or maybe you think that you're ugly or worthless because you don't meet the criteria for what the world or the media have said is beautiful and worth our time. Now, if we're not careful, we can let these things define us. We can be defined by the world and valued by the world in either positive or the most hurtful of negative terms. But what about God? What does God say you are? And how can we compare his opinion to us, to our opinion or anybody else's opinion of us? Now, we looked at Ephesians in great detail at Lent last year, but I just wanted to pick out a few things from these verses just to remind us about what God says we are. So, if we go back to verse 4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ. Before the creation of the universe, everything that we see, everything that ever has been, God loved us and he chose us. He saw you, he saw me, he saw the good, the bad, the ugly parts of our lives, and he still chose us. That's how much he wants us to be with him. And that is how incredible and how beautiful he says that we are. Back again to verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. And verse 11. Find it. We have received an inheritance from God. We are adopted into God's family, and we have an inheritance in heaven, an eternal inheritance in heaven. So not only did God choose us, he chose us to be his children, his beloved children that he cherishes. And he did this because it brings him pleasure to be with us. Now, you might, you know, I hope that you love coming to church and love spending time with God and with each other, and that brings you pleasure. But even more than that, God spending time with you brings him pleasure. That's how amazing you are in his eyes. So what worldly possessions or even lack of them can compare to our eternal inheritance from our Heavenly Father? We have everything in heaven and on earth because we are heirs with Christ. What could possibly compare to that? Even the best car or mansion or anything, nothing lives up to the entire universe, to the stars in the sky, and to Jesus Christ, our inheritance. Finally, going back to verse 7. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. We are free from sin because of what Jesus did on the cross, and he continues to shower us in these blessings. We are forgiven, and so we get to enjoy, like I said before, we get to enjoy being with God and all the good things that he has for us. And this is all because of his kindness and his grace. This undeserved mercy, this undeserved favor that we get to call God, the creator of everything, Father, not just Lord, but Father as well. So, what are you? When you start labeling yourself, when you start letting other people label you, what do you think you are? Come to the next slide, please. Sorry, thank you. What are you? You are created. You are loved. You are chosen. You are adopted. You are forgiven. And you are favored. Like a lot of Paul's letters, the start of Ephesians is just an outpouring from his heart. You can just imagine his poor scribe there trying to keep up with him and everything that he's saying as he's pacing around, getting everything off that is on his heart. And it's just there imprinted in him these truths that Paul knows to be true about himself because God says they are true. They just pour out of his heart. So when you consider yourself, when you look in the mirror in the morning, when you're brushing your teeth or whatever, what do you say you are?